This is Victrios.
Let's open our Bibles to Luke chapter 10. We'll read from 25 to 37. Luke chapter 10, 25 to 37. If you are new to Victory House, thank you for coming. New means that you are coming here. This is the first day you came here. New also means that you have not come in a while. Amen. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Amen to Jesus. I'm sure if you are new, this is the first day you came here. Somebody might have reached out to you. And if they didn't reach out to you, if you wave your hands, they will come toward you and then also make you wait after service to get a little gift that we have after service for you. Luke chapter 10 and from verse 25. The Bible says, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? 26, what is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? What is written is different from what you read. Amen to Jesus. But let's not go there. But what is written in the law? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. 28. You have answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But like experts, you know, experts know a lot, and sometimes they want to show that they know. Then he wanted to justify himself or wanted to show off. So he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Define neighbor. And Jesus said, okay, I'll take you to school. Come, let's go. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. Notice that word, on the other side. Then in verse 32, the Bible says, so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where this man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Notice the other guys, they passed by, they did not take pity. But this guy was passing by, and then he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring an oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Verse 35. Then the next day he took out 2 denarii. A denarii is one day's wage. So it's like a day's job, 2 days' job. And gave it to them, to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have made. You may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to that man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the man or the one who had mercy. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Like Jesus is telling us this morning to go and do likewise. Can somebody say amen to that? So this morning, I want to quickly talk about color red. Color red. That's the topic I've been asked to speak on. I have often wondered, why is red the color of love? I'm sure some of you have wondered. I just play some of these mind games. Why? Why red? Why not white? Is white not pure? Stainless? Pure and clean? White does not offend anybody. People, you know, some people have issues with red. They don't want to wear red. Some people have issues with black. They don't want to wear black. They feel black is dull. You know, most people wear white. I think some people like to wear black, only black. I've heard of stories like that some people just like to wear only, the only thing they have is black. God help them. Amen. But I don't know too many people that just like wearing only red. You know, I know people that will say red is their favorite color. I don't even know my favorite color again. I used to know it one time, but I gave it up. So my favorite color is the color that I see now. Amen to Jesus. The one that is available. And that I can. So I've been wondering, why is it that red is synonymous with love. And also notice that red is not only synonymous with love, also red is also used for danger. Your caution, when you were coming this morning and you were trying to, you know, apply the brakes, when you were at the stop sign is pretty much the most part of the colors on the stop sign is red. So why is it that you use the same kind of color for something so beautiful as love? Because, I mean, when you watch all these movies, love is supposed to be very beautiful, very nice, very, you know, romantic, make you feel butterflies, and, you know, that's how people put it. Why are you using the same colors to depict what is dangerous? But can I tell you this morning, love is dangerous. Can somebody say amen? Love is dangerous. Oh, yes, love is dangerous. Because if you've if you watch that, or you even saw the people that came here, let's not go to that video. They said that they had issues in their relationship. You would have thought that good people, a good guy meets a good girl, then it should be a good life. But that's far from perfect. That's far from the story. That's far from what usually happens. In the stories of love, your heart may break. Amen to Jesus. Oh, yes. In the story of love, your feelings may and will be hurt. The closer you are to people, the more when they do stuff to you will hurt you very deeply. The people that hurt us the most are the people that are closest to us. Because if somebody is not close to you, if he does anything, you just look at him and like, you just go your own, you know. But if somebody that is very, very close to you, your husband, says something, some things that somebody can say and get away with. If my wife says it to me, it will rob me. I mean, sometimes when we are in the joking mode, it will work fine. Amen. Because there's a joking mode where we are in that joking mode. There's a serious mode. And when she just throws some of those things, or I throw some of those things, she'll be like, that was not nice. I remember several years ago, my wife told me, you can be kinder. And I've been a pastor at that time. And I'm like, ah, kinder? As a man of God, I'm not kind. I thought I was a kind person. I mean, look at some of the people that will come around and will say to your husband, he's a very nice guy, he's a very kind person. But you are now saying I'm not, that I can be kinder, you know. But that is the story of love. So in love, your heart may break. Your feelings may be hurt. You may experience untold pain. I mean, pains. There are people that are even listening to me this morning, and I'm praying in the name of Jesus. Since morning, I've been praying that God will bind that broken heart. Amen. In the name of Jesus. There are people, as people celebrate Valentine, and people are excited, and whatever. Some people are not quite excited because there are pains in your heart. So why is it that we're using this color of red to depict that? I think I can give a reason, and I'm not claiming to be the expert on this, but I think I can give some reason based on scriptures that will fit in within the confine of the color of love, or why red is used as a color of love. There is no way you can really express love, even from the people that you heard here, without the word sacrifice. Can somebody say sacrifice? I personally believe that the reason red perfectly explains love is that there is need for sacrifice in a love equation. There is no love equation, whether it's romantic or brother and sister or church member and pastor, pastor and church member, that will not need sacrifice. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Oh yeah, oh yeah. You will have to sacrifice. Sometimes you have to sacrifice not talking back. Because you know the answer you can give. Before you became born again, you know, I can answer you, man. I mean, I know what to tell you. I can wash you. I will finish you. I mean, when we were in town. When we were in town, oh my God, we knew how to do. See what the Bible, see what the gospel did to me. So sometimes we know that. We hold our tongue. Sometimes you come to church. An usher is telling you to sit down there. Yeah, you're like, me sit down there? No, I don't think so. You want to go out, but you just sit down there. There is no way we can talk about love without sacrifice. What about father and children? I mean, I've said this before. I used to think we were very rich. I thought we were boxed up. It's now that I'm older, I'm like, these people didn't really have money. How come they were doing all these things? The word is sacrifice. I didn't know. Because I used to wear the best clothes as a kid. There's one shoe that people used to wear there. They called it mother's care or mother care or something like that. Some people know that. I mean, it wasn't the most cheapest shoe ever, but I always had it. I didn't know my parents were not that rich. They were not too poor, but they were not rich. Amen to Jesus. How was I able to have it? The word is sacrifice. Sacrifice. I mean, we went to schools that they were paying for. I remember I started public school, and then somewhere along the line, they moved me away from public school, put me in private school. And I went from elementary to university. They paid tuition every time. In fact, when I started doing masters, that's the one that even got me. I remember sometime my mama told me, she told me that somebody was telling her that, why are you disturbing yourself with all these children? I should let him get student loan. This is in America. You should let him get student loan. He's a big boy. And truly, I wasn't a small boy. I was already working in Nigeria before I came here to the U.S. You know, I thought I could pay school fees. I paid a little bit. So she was telling me this as they were telling her that you are spoiling these children. Just leave them alone. I said, it's okay. They will soon see when we start doing stuff for you. And then I had to pay a bill. Big deal. It was over $10,000 that I was owing. And I could not register again. I had tried everything. One day I just, you know, like a boy, you still cry to the mother. I just cried to my mom. And you know, since I told my mom that, until that money showed up, she looked for it from everywhere. Everywhere. So how do you talk about love without sacrifice? I don't know how you can talk about it. So the operating word for love is sacrifice. Can somebody shout sacrifice again? Now, you need to understand that sacrifice in scripture represents covenant. It stands or it shows covenant. And really, the love God is talking about that we talk about in church or we are talking about this morning is covenant love. It's the love that is not convenient love, because there are all kinds of love. There's love if you love me, I love you. There's love if you show me something, I show you something. No, this love we are talking about is covenant love. In Psalm 50 and verse 5, Psalm 50 and verse 5, the Bible says, gather all my saints together, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So whenever you see sacrifice, covenant is around the corner. And so whenever you see covenant, you need to understand that there are things you are going to sacrifice. If you ask Jesus, you know, we always shouting, Jesus loves us, you know. And if you ask the Father that, what does this love cost you? He will just smile and he will tell Jesus to show you his hands and you will see the holes there, because the holes are still there. The Bible said that when he rose up, because Thomas didn't believe that he was alive, right? So the Bible said that Thomas had to say, unless I see the holes. So the miracle of resurrection did not take the holes away. The scars are still there. That's what love looks like. Love is that messy. The sacrifice, there are things we give up. There are things that has to go because of love. So in a sacrifice or covenant shows sacrifice, covenant reveals commitment. Covenant exposes choices, because whenever you talk about covenant, there's usually an opportunity not to choose what you have chosen. You decided to choose. Let me tell you this. At the height of love, you choose to love. You choose to love. Because many people think that the height of love is, this roller coaster, cruise coaster, I just love. We are just loving ourselves. I tell you the truth. There's nothing like that. You just choose. If you keep saying to your wife, like those 80-year-old people that are telling themselves, I love you, at 80, you know, they've been together for 80 years, it's a choice. There are other opportunities. There are other things that will be suggested to them. In fact, there will be other things that will be more natural than choosing that. One of it is to say you are a stupid woman. You see your head like something, you know. But you can choose. So covenant exposed choice. At the root of authentic love, I said that before, is sacrifice. Now let me just say two things, two big things, and then we'll begin to wrap this up and be on our way home. We've already had a good service from all the couples that spoke about different things in marriage. I think, you know, I just need to put an icing on this cake and then you'll be on your way home. Now, In a covenant, there are attitudes that you and I can have toward the covenant. There are attitudes that you can have in any love relationship. Because I believe that every love relationship you find yourself, you should attempt to show covenant love, not just convenient love. You should attempt to show covenant love. The first thing you need to know that's a good attitude in covenant is you need to pay attention to your part. The covenant is like contract. Contract is the easiest way to explain it, but covenant is not contract. In a contract, there are parties. There are people. One party will come, the other party will come. And every party has an assignment, or every party has a part to play. If you do not pay your part in the contract, you avoided the contract. So you need to understand that in a covenant relationship, or you need to understand that in love, you have a part. There is nobody that does not have a part. It's always, you even with God, you still have a part. As much as God loved the world, the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish. But remember that he loves the whole world, but the person that believes in him is the one that will not perish. The love of loving the whole world does not mean that the whole world will not perish. There are people that will still perish because they didn't believe. So in every covenant, there is a part. You need to find your part. If you are a husband, find your part. If you are a wife, find your part. If you are a son to a mother, find your part. Every relationship you find yourself, you have a part. Even if you are a parent, you have a part. You have a part. So covenant works when we do our part. Covenant works when you do your own part. You have to do your own part. So, and let me say this. In the knowing your part, you are only responsible for your own part. You are not responsible for the other person's part. Can somebody say amen to that? Because I know some wife would like to be responsible. Like, the Bible said you should love me. They want to be responsible for their husband's own. No. You do your own. You focus on your own. You stay in your lane. You do your own part. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. But my parents are not, they are not even born again. The Bible did not qualify it. They don't even know Jesus. They don't speak in tongues. Excuse me, calm down. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, of course, some people say, well, it says that when they are saying you should do, that in the Lord suggests that when they tell you to do things that are against the word of God. Of course, we understand that you shouldn't do that. But the Bible says you obey your parents. So as a child, my role in that covenant relationship is to obey. No matter where I get to. No matter how old I am. Amen to Jesus. Can somebody say amen to that? So you are responsible for your own part. Tend your own garden. Focus on your own side. Focus on your own side. I like books. I like that people read and ask questions and find out what is going on with other people. But can I tell you this? Every relationship is unique. Your family is unique. My family is unique. I have to focus on my family. The fact that Mr. A, every Saturday they go out for dinner. For example, this Valentine, we didn't go out. Maybe we had dinner, but we didn't go out for dinner. We had the dinner, and the dinner was all, let's sit down at the table. No, everybody pick whatever they need to pick. You know, after prayer and fasting, you just pick what you need to pick, and then sleep and get ready for the next day. It's where we are now. But some people might have gone out. You know, in fact, some part of that Valentine, I was thinking to myself, I need to get candles and be realistic. Excuse me, sir. Be realistic. Before you go and turn candle on, one kid will just carry the candle and hurt another. Just stay where you are for now. So tend your own garden. Focus on your own garden. Tend your garden. Tend your garden. Another thing that I would say on that paying attention to you, to your parties, don't withhold your praise. Don't withhold anything that you can do into your relationships. Don't withhold. Don't bottle anything. I had that in somewhere here. Let things flow out from you. Don't withhold praise to your spouse. Don't withhold praise to your children. Don't withhold anything. Give them everything. And give them quickly. Give them as soon as you can. Because sometimes some people are waiting to give some things in the future, and it's too late. There are some parents that they would have loved that their children give them that money they went to spend at funeral. I remember when my dad was turning 70, I convinced him. I said, come to the U.S. He was like, look, you come. I said, come. I said, it will be cheaper. He said, come. He says, then he now said this. He said, this is what I want. I don't want you to now go and be spending money when I'm dead. Oh, when he said that, I said, okay, hands up. I will come, and I'll bring the kids. It's expensive. It's maybe like times, I don't know what, expensive. Because even the ticket, and then when you get to Nigeria, you know you don't go empty-handed. Everybody will come and be meeting you and say, you don't know me, you don't know me. It is well. But because I know that that will bless him, he will be happy with that. Let me do it. It may not be the easiest thing. That's why it is love. It is not supposed to be the easiest thing. In love, there are sacrifices. Can somebody say amen to that? The other time they were saying that, what is something you don't like and stuff like that. I don't like chewing gum. I can't stand it. I know people have chew gum around me and they don't get any problem because I have learned to live with it. I can't stand the smell. I can throw up. I'm serious. Because I grew up with an old woman who I couldn't chew gum. No, I mean, I cannot do chocolates and gum. No, I didn't go there. I can't choose gum to even save my life. No, it's that bad. So when we, my wife, she of course, now she will be sensitive. She would not necessarily chew gum when I'm there or something like that. But even if she does, because love means sacrifice, sometimes I'll just be swallowing whatever I need to swallow to make sure I'm okay and all of that. And sometimes when I show up in public places where I see people, and sometimes I can even influence those people. I mean, I've seen some of our ministers chew gum here, and I don't come and meet you and say, don't you know what the word of God says? Why? Because love is sacrifice. Oh, there are things you have to give up. Some people think, no, you have to give up. You have to compromise. That's the word. Somebody said we'll meet at a bridge. You have to meet. There has to be compromise for your children. There has to be there may be things you don't like. You may not like cooking a particular kind of food. You got to compromise. I remember this Valentine's Day. One of my sons had been talking about sushi. I've been watching one video and he was talking to sushi. So I promised him some time ago that I'll get him sushi for Valentine. So after everything had happened, everybody sitting down and I'm almost like sleeping halfway. It was not like, Daddy, what about the sushi? So I had to go out. I had to go get it. And I know he won't really eat because he don't even know what he's talking about. Because sushi is fresh food, you know? I mean, this guy, he's been living with African parents that cook everything, overcook things. So, if I want to eat sushi, okay, I'll bring you sushi. So I got the sushi and he ate like one. The way he was eating it, I knew that, oh my word, this boy is like, what did I just get myself into? But why did I go and do that? Because the love requires sacrifice. So, make conscious emotional deposits in the life of people you love. Emotional deposit. There are bankruptcies that are existing in this room today. It is not financial in nature. It's emotional. Some of us are bankrupt emotionally. There's nobody sowing things into our life. Our wife or our spouse or our children or our parents. They are just withdrawing. They are not depositing. And we too, we are doing the same thing. We are withdrawing. We are not. Make conscious emotional deposits into the life of people around you. Because that's your part. That's your part. That's my part. I have to do that. That is not going to be done for me. I have to do that. So that one attitude in a covenant is pay attention to your part. Another attitude in a covenant, know the parties within your covenant. Know the parties within your covenant. If there is any problem that you can find in most relationships, is that people are acquaintances, but they don't know themselves. I know your name. Your name is Toyosi. I know that. And today is your birthday, and we're coming to that. Amen to that. But sometimes that's about all. And sometimes the mistake people make is that because they have met you once, they think they've known you forever. It's a lie. Even me, I'm still knowing myself. There are sometimes I've done something. The other day, I spanked one kid at home. And after a while, I came back. I told my wife, I said, I thought that was overly too, it wasn't necessary, right? She was like, hey, maybe. She was, you know, just as a good wife, be kind to me. But I'm like, where did that one come from? Sometimes I've done things before. I'm like, Pastor E, where is he? Because that one is not Pastor E. That is another guy that I saw in high school. Where did he come from? If I still am learning myself, why would I imagine that I cannot learn my kids? Why would I imagine that I have known my wife? Many people will tell you, say, I know my wife. We have a rhythm now. Please, don't get on that level. Yes, I believe after a while you will know yourself, but don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. We are evolving. The guy that you think you know, I mean, I remember when we were going to get married. I'm this kind of guy. You know, I grew up in church family, so we like to be, we were taught to be contented. I can live under meagers. I can not do without food for a long time. That's how we raised us. So I didn't give any complaints about, my wife would say, let's do this for wedding. I said, okay, let's do that for wedding. Okay. Then we got to some levels. And I was like, no, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. She was like, where is this one coming from? I thought everything I do, I said, this one is not part of them. Because she was surprised. She was telling her friend, I used to think this guy was a simple guy. I'm simple, but not on this one. There are always exceptions. So know the parties within your covenant. Learn the other person. Go to their school. Your wife. Go. Don't assume you know them because you know their name. They sleep near you. They have the last name as you. They talk to you. No, don't assume. That's why sometimes children will be more close to their friends because parents have assumed that they knew them. I mean, have you not had some of these killers and shooters and people that, and the parents will be like, where did that come from? It has always been there. You didn't meet that guy. You didn't meet that other guy, that killer guy. You didn't meet that guy. You only met the other one that came to the house and slept. And most of these guys that have been killing people nowadays, some of them have not had any charge on their records. You know, first time that killer guy just came out and took everything and messed up everything. So know the parties within your covenant. Know, learn the other person. Learn God. Learn more about God. Learn more about your spouse. Learn more about your kids. Use tools if it will help you. I found a tool this week, Love Nudge. Love Nudge is by Gary Chapman. If you're married, go get the app. It's an app. Love Nudge. That is spelling. Love Nudge. So it is going to profile you. It's going to ask you a few questions. You answer the question. And when you finish answering the question, you can send it to your wife. She will answer. You will be surprised sometimes. Some things you think you know, you don't really know. You know, because my wife started doing something. Said, I saw that this one is what you like. I was like, oh, yeah, I like that. I won't tell you that, so because it's not your business. But go find Love Nudge. Go find Love Nudge on your app store, you know, and any other tool that you need to use to learn one another. If you need to use questionnaires, like the game that they did here, do it at home for yourself. You go and watch the video. Look at those things. Because there are many spouses here, they can't buy shoes for their wife. They don't know it. I don't know your shoe size. Why don't you learn it? You can know it. I don't know my son's shoe size. I don't know my son's span. Why can't you? You can know it. It's not for ladies alone. A guy can know that. Can somebody say amen to that? The greatest danger of any relationship is to mistake access for knowledge. If I let you come in, it doesn't mean that you know me. Because there are people in this room, because you always see me every Sunday and you hear me speak, you may assume that you know me. I've met people sometimes, they'll say, we see on Facebook, we see on Instagram. That means you know me because you see, hi, this is Speak Life with Pastor E. you don't know me because some people have taken some of those things to think, that guy is a very cocky guy, self-confident guy. It's not true. Pastor E is a very soft guy. On the back. See me spanking kid, I'm going to be asking back again. Should I spank that kid? So some people, with the way I talk, wouldn't you look like if I spank the kid, I'll say, I will spank you again. But I'm not like that. So don't mistake access for knowledge. Don't mistake access for knowledge. The fact that you have access to someone does not mean you know them. It just means that you have met them And you can only know them when you are intentional. You have met me. But now you have to be intentional and you have to allow time. And sometimes you have to enroll the person that you want to know to help them to know you. Can somebody say amen to that? If I know anything about spouses, sometimes one spouse wants the other spouse to know about a thing. And they want the spouse to know it by osmosis. If he loves me, he should just know. He should just know. He will not just know. If you know he doesn't know, tell him. Amen to Jesus. If you like beans, tell him, I like beans. Like in my house now, I don't need to tell them. Even the kids know I like beans. Because I eat beans. Every time I eat, if I eat in a day, I will eat beans somewhere within the day. And vegetables. I don't go wrong with that. There's always beans in my house. My kids don't like it yet. They will soon like it. So, and how did they know that I like beans? Because I told them. They didn't figure it out. I said it because I wasn't cooking it. So I have to say, I like beans. And when I see one beans that, you know, hits the home run, I'll say, that one was very good. That one was very good. Who cooked that beans? So I say it so that they will cook another one like that. So you have to know them. And you are going to know them intentionally. And you allow time. You allow time. You allow time. You allow your children. You allow time. You allow time. You talk to them, you are around them because you want to know them. Because you want to know them. I'll close with this. I heard a story yesterday. Was it yesterday? No. This morning, I actually read the story before. It was very early in the morning. I read the story. It was a story of a boy. And this boy, he heard that his neighbor, young boy, was bereaved of a loved one. And then this boy went to the neighbor. And his parents were wondering, where is this boy? And they later found him, and they found that he has gone to the neighbor. They were curious that, young boy, what would you have gone to say to somebody that just lost somebody? Then I asked him, they said, what did you go and do there? What did you tell him? He said, I didn't tell him anything. I was just there, and I was crying with him. The world is looking for people who will come by their side and cry with them. And learn things. And not force your way. Because sometimes the fact that I do things differently does not mean I'm wrong. If you pay attention and you are patient with me, you will soon find out that my way will also get us to that destination. That's one of the things I found out with my wife sometimes. And I found out that she's gentle to me. I'm a little bit like this. But sometimes she will still get the job done. Even with the slow pace, you know, she will still get it done. So, and the whole idea is to get the job done. I'm praying for you this morning that every relationship that you have found yourself, that God will heal that relationship in the name of Jesus. I want you to bow down your heads and talk to God and tell God, I want to operate covenant love in all my relationships. I want to operate color red. I want my favorite color in my relationship to be red. And I understand that it will take sacrifice. It will take me giving up to go up. Help me, help me, help, help me. Will you receive help from God this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive help.